Hello and welcome to the Developmental Services Ontario's podcast. Today we are going to talk about step 4 of the DSO Housing Toolkit, which is about managing housing supports. I'm your host, Val Baravi, Communication Specialist for DSO. In the studio with me today is Marta Beach, Housing Navigator for the DSO Southeast and East Regions, and Catherine Picard, Housing Navigator for DSO Central East Region. Welcome, Martha and Catherine.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you.
Catherine, can you start us off by describing what you will be covering today?
We'll be talking about managing housing supports and some great resources in the toolkit that will help families recruit, hire, and manage the supports they need. These resources will help families make their housing vision a reality. We'll talk about the housing toolkit and how to find guides, documents, and links to websites to help find your supports. You'll learn more about labor laws and the distinction between employees and independent contractors. We'll also talk about sample documents that you may find useful, such as recruitment ads, interview and hiring checklists, worker contracts, and some resources for legal advice in case you need it. The goal of step 4, managing housing supports, is to help you feel confident to hire and manage your supports.
Martha, can you tell us more about the recruiting process?
Well, by the time you're ready to recruit, you will likely have a housing vision. You'll have worked out your housing budget and have figured out what your support needs are. The next step is to find the right people to provide those supports. It can be difficult to choose the right support staff, so it is important to keep in mind the vision of the person, their goals, and the life they would like to live, along with how the people around them can help them reach these goals. Families say it's more than a person's physical care. It's a relationship based on mutual respect and the belief in full participation in community life. A person's support is often a blend of natural supports they have in their lives and the formal and paid supports they have as well. The Housing Toolkit offers samples of job descriptions that families can personalize according to their needs. Hiring a support worker, a guide for Ontarians with a developmental disability, is an excellent resource. We recommend that families include information about the person, their background, vision, and interests to find the right match. Consider what training and skills a worker may need, such as physical, medical, or behavioral support experience. Is a vehicle required? What are the working hours and salary range? Make sure to provide any other important information and include your loved one as much as possible throughout the process.
Thank you, Martha. Catherine, you mentioned earlier about the distinction between an employee and an independent contractor. Could you please elaborate on that?
Sure. I think understanding the employment status of the person you are hiring is very important. A worker can be considered either a worker who is employed by one employer or an independent contractor who owns their own business and provides services to one client. In terms of legislation, tax considerations, workplace safety, sick days, and vacations, this distinction may have major implications. There is a great resource in the toolkit, co-authored by Community Living Ontario and Purin Law, entitled A Legal Guide to Engaging Support Workers for People with Disabilities. Use a resource like this to discover the status of employees through guided questions such as how, when, where, and under what conditions will services be provided? Who has control over the work? The more control you have, the more likely your worker will be an employee. Who owns the work tools, such as the tablet used, the premises, work supplies, cleaning supplies, or food? If you own the tools and resources, if any, it's likely your worker will be an employee. An independent contractor is a person who is hired to perform a specific role or task and provides the equipment and executes the work on their own terms. Characterizing your worker is crucial. And if you are unsure, you should seek advice from a professional.
Martha, when families are ready to hire, can you share ideas where they can recruit?
You can recruit in many ways, but these are a few ideas. There may be people already involved with you and your family member who wish to deepen their relationship. Use your social network and your connections as well. By word of mouth and personal contacts, I know someone who knows someone. Don't be afraid to tell people you're looking for support workers. We have heard of great connections made in a person's community, such as through a church or other affiliations, past teachers or school support, or a close friend or relative. Connect with local providers through sites like respiteservices.com. They may have some leads. Find out if there are agencies in your area that hire support workers and caregivers. Students looking for a job in a caring field may search on Kijiji or other job sites, so make sure to post there or check out employment centers at local colleges or universities. Some families do an exchange system where they offer reduced or free rent in exchange for support.
Catherine, can you give us any tips on the interview and hiring process?
You can use the interview checklist in the DSO Housing Toolkit to help you interview direct service providers and support workers after you have a job description and have done some recruitment. Two great resources are available: Hiring a Support Worker, a guide for Ontarians with developmental disability, and a legal guide to engaging support workers for people with disabilities. When conducting interviews, having another person with you is a good idea so they can record the applicant's answers and help you review the applications and interviews. Include your family member in this process where possible, as it's important for an applicant to know who they may be supporting. While interviewing, you can also share information about the person to be supported in other ways, through photo albums, scrapbooks, binders, drawings, and even videos. At the interview, welcome the applicant, review their application and ask why they are applying. Review the job description and answer any questions they may have. Ask questions so you can learn more about the person's experiences and skills for the job. You can also see during the interview whether the applicant and the person are compatible. Here are some questions you might ask an applicant. What appeals to you about being a direct support provider? As a direct service provider, what education and experience do you have? How can you best support a person with a developmental disability? And what have you done to help support someone to be a part of their community? You can ask questions about the applicant's educational background, interests, skills, and experiences. During an interview, never ask questions that are too personal or inappropriate, such as questions about age, race, religion, sexual orientation, and politics. Let the applicant know that you will follow up with references and ask to see a vulnerable sector screening and proof of qualifications at the end of the interview. Tell your applicants when you plan on making your decision and getting back to them.
Thanks, Catherine. Martha, what resources does the toolkit have to help with deciding who to hire?
Reviewing your notes after you've completed interviewing is helpful. Did anyone's answers align with the vision, needs, or goals of your family member? You may want to start by checking that person's credentials first. When you decide on someone, it's exciting. When they accept the position, reach out to go over the details more finely, including an orientation to where they will be working and their tasks. You should consider writing an employment contract or agreement and go over the details like scheduling or hours, invoicing, compensation, reporting duties, and level of supervision or oversight in the role. In the Housing Toolkit, you'll find resources to assist you. And last but not least, training is crucial to a successful relationship between an individual and a support worker. In the toolkit, you can find great resources to help you train support workers. Everyone is different, and it takes time for the relationship to grow and for comfort and trust to develop. If there are other support workers on the team, have the new member shadow them. Anyone who's been employed knows how important training is. Be sure to engage in regular debriefings and ask questions. It lays the groundwork for the future and provides guidance, support, and problem solving for the relationship's success, as well as keeping your loved one's vision alive.
Catherine, I've heard that families have options to manage their supports. Can you tell us more about this?
Family members prefer the control, flexibility, and oversight they get from hiring a support worker, whether that worker is an employee or an independent contractor. Some people may have micro boards or networks of support in place to help in this regard, so that's another thing to consider. The process of recruiting, hiring, managing, and sustaining support can be overwhelming for some families. You can use a staffing agency or agency that specializes in this area and handles all of these components. It is a fee-for-service model where a provider or agency hires and qualifies workers, schedules them, ensures workers are paid, and ensures all other regulations and coverages are followed. This is a benefit to using an agency with employment practices that will protect your family from liability. Although it is up to you how you manage your supports, other families advise you be alert even if you have a good support system in place. You should always have a plan for when people get sick, miss work, or if the support worker relationship breaks down.
Well, that leads us to the end of our podcast and quick overview of some key aspects of Section 4 of the DSO Housing Toolkit, Managing Housing Supports. Thank you, Martha and Catherine, for your insight. I hope that this podcast session has helped our audience to understand Step 4 of the Housing Toolkit and its many benefits. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics to info@dsontario.ca or via our social media accounts at dsontario.ca. Thank you.